Blog Talk Radio.
You make me feel good.
No, around town, people trying to get down.
The number you have dialed has been changed. The new number is...
You're jamming on the one.
Yay!
Yay!
I'm so glad we have our intro back again. What was that, Chris?
Could you guys hear me sniffing, clearing my throat during the intro? Because I forgot that you can hear me while the intro is playing.
I didn't hear anything, but who knows on the playback.
Yeah. Well, so
I didn't hear anything either, but who knows? It might have picked up for the listeners. Who knows?
But it's nice to have our intro back.
I love
ooh,
it. I'm
ooh, ooh, ooh.
So I want to introduce everybody, okay? So we have right now, we have Lisa Golden. She's going to be with us for a good 20 minutes. And
hey.
Jason Holland. And I'm Chris Contreras. Hopefully Carolyn's joining us, maybe.
Maybe. I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything. And I'm kind of hoping that Melissa might call in.
She's been Facebooking today, Miss Melissa. She's been on the Facebook, so she knows the show's going on. So.
Oh, I know.
She's
been liking the posts and stuff that we were going to
good.
Come on, Goofball. Call in.
She'll probably call
come
in.
On, Goofy.
Yeah, so we're talking about Melissa McDonald and Dr. Carolyn Smith. And hopefully the whole gang will be together. I haven't heard from Marcia though, but maybe you never know.
I can raise my hand. Marcia's daughter came into town for a weekend visit, and I think they went on a fishing excursion.
Oh.
Sounds
so horrible.
That's about all I know.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a pleasant. Experience.
The pleasant part is her daughter came into town and the two of them get to spend time together. So that's the pleasant part. But I don't know that either one of them really is really fond of the fishing, but at least they're together.
I hate water. I hate deep water. I hate lakes. I hate all manner of bodies of water.
You hate deep water. You don't like bodies of water at all. You're like scared of the water.
No,
I didn't know that.
They totally disgust me. Yeah, just not knowing what's under my feet and just slimy.
We have had that discussion about ocean water and about seaweed and stuff. Yeah.
And I have a tremendous fear of octopi. I don't know.
Octopi. You got an octopi.
Yeah, this isn't a James Bond movie. This is not a James Bond movie. We don't need to.
Octopus.
We don't need to go there.
That's my little. No, 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 no. There's the famous line in the movie, in the James Bond movie. That's my little octopussy.
Oh, God. She went there.
It was a tattoo. Come on now.
So Lisa, earlier we were chatting. You brought up the fact that you wanted to talk about the sad loss of Gene Wilder, and everybody felt it. I'm sure. I know I did. So
I mean,
tell
the
us
last.
What you think.
Yeah, this year has been one of those years where so many. I mean, I on a personal level, so many. Entertainers of many of across the spectrum have really have passed that have affected me profoundly, and Gene Wilder is definitely one of those people. And I mean, I knew that he was ill. I knew he had Alzheimer's. I knew it was probably a matter of time, and I knew he was in his 80s and everything. And it doesn't matter though. It's still he's gone, and I absolutely adored him. I had a little crush on him. You know,
did you ever meet him?
No, I really do wish I could say I had. I never saw him interviewed, nothing, but I've admired him from afar for as long as I can remember. And yeah, I guess the AMC theaters and a couple other theater companies, they have been playing Blazing Saddles and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory in theaters across the country this weekend at $5 a ticket, so people can go and remember him too. I think that's a really cool thing. And I've just been, you know, I didn't cry my eyes out or anything. I was very sad to hear about the loss, but he's just one of those people that really, like I said, he profoundly affected me into me while I was like learning that I wanted to act and do something in theater or acting or whatever it was. Even as a little tiny girl, I just thought he was so fascinating. And just such a sad thing to hear that he passed away. And I don't know, what did you guys think? I mean, did you grow up watching his movies, or is there a certain movie or anything that you like in particular? Is there anybody listening that could say yes, raise your hand, tell us what your favorite movie was, or TV performance or stage performance, anything?
Definitely Young Frankenstein. But of course, I grew up watching Willy Wonka. But I love me some Young Frankenstein, and he was hilarious. Just subtle little facial expressions killed me that he did. You know, that he was good.
Yeah.
So, what was your favorite, Chase?
I mean, obviously, what was it? Was it 1974 that Willy Wonka came out?
Was it 71? It was before even I was born. I think I'm the oldest one on this panel, and it was before I was born.
No, you're not. I'm 50.
What? Okay, we'll get back to that. That I did not know. Okay.
I was born in 66.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
But
all right.
I like that. I like, what was that? See No Evil, Hear No Evil. Thing.
Oh, yeah, with Richard Pryor.
Yep, I like that movie. Young Frankenstein is really good. I like that one a lot too. So,
Silver Streak.
That's good too. I really liked him a lot. I thought he was pretty great.
There's something about his take on his characters that there's something about just him. I mean, I don't know what it is, but
exactly.
I do remember one of my earliest memories of watching Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is I didn't know if I liked Willy Wonka or if he scared the crap out of me.
Yeah. He's definitely, like, the way he delivers a passionate speech, you know, whether it was Willy Wonka or Young Frankenstein, all that passion in his articulation is kind of scary, but it's hilarious. If you listen to what he's saying, it's hilarious, but at the same time, he's so adamant about it, it's kind of scary too. So I could see where
And going back to 2009, going into 2010, when I got to finally do a production of the musical version of Mel Brooks's The Producers, you know, Gene Wilder was in the original film, The Producers. And, he played Leo Bloom, and that Matthew Broderick played on Broadway. Sadly, had never actually sat down and watched the entire film, The Producers, the original, until I got in that production. And when I sat down and watched, and I'm like, I was kicking myself the whole time because, of course, it was so good and just so high energy and so twisted. But Gene Wilder was even funnier than I ever thought he ever was in all the films and all the TV appearances, everything I'd ever seen him in. I'm watching him in The Producers. And I'm like, I'm glad I get to watch it now, but boy, I wish I had appreciated it way back before. He was just genius. I actually, it's really funny. I'll close my side of the Gene Wilder. We can move on if you guys want to, but the night I found out he passed away, I am in a roommate situation, my friend. So I live with three roommates right now. And so when I need to go to sleep, I don't need to go to sleep at any given time, but you know, we all have our own schedules. Let's just put it that way. And everybody's cool, but we all have our own schedules. I tend to just put on my earbuds and put on YouTube and either put on something that I pretty much know all the lines to, like a movie or a TV show or something, and it'll just conk me out. Okay. So I tend to, lately, my thing has been watching episodes of Will and Grace, because Will and Grace is one of my favorite shows. And I just put on whatever random Will and Grace was available on YouTube that night, the night I found out Gene Wilder died. And of course, it was an episode that he was the guest star. And here I am trying to fall asleep, and I ended up waking up and watching the whole episode arc when he was on the show, and it was just so great to watch.
You cried.
I don't know.
You cried. Didn't you?
I did. A little bit. Teared up a little bit. Gotta say.
I knew
but,
it.
What a
I knew you were lying.
What?
Earlier you said you didn't cry, but I knew you were lying. I saw right through your lie. You did cry.
I said, oh, okay.
So next time, just own up to it. You cried. Anyway, all right, ladies, don't listen to me. Well, yeah, that was terrible that you cried.
I was going to say I listened to an interview on NPR where Terry Gross had interviewed Gene Wilder. It was a really good interview.
I didn't know there was a producers before this new one with Matthew Broderick and that other guy, the chubby guy. What's
Nathan
his name?
Lane. Nathan
yeah,
Lane.
I didn't know that. I thought that was the only producers. I'll have to look for that other one.
Yeah, no, it was based on an actual comedy film that Mel Brooks wrote and directed back in the day. Yeah.
I did not know that.
And I actually think, what was it? I mean, Gene Wilder and Mel Brooks wrote Young Frankenstein.
Yeah,
well,
actually, they say that Gene Wilder came up with the idea and pitched it at him when they were working on Blazing Saddles, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, Gene Wilder actually wrote it, and then Mel Brooks would come in like every day and kind of critique his writing and
yeah.
stuff.
Huh.
So it was really interesting.
I love the part where he's like, "Put the candle back," you know, like when they get stuck behind a bookshelf. And then Terry Garr says it, and it's hilarious. Anyway.
But it was Gene Wilder's idea for the actor that was on Everybody Loves Raymond, to do Putting on the Ritz.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
And
I love that.
Peter Boyle. Yeah, actually, y'all know that I used to work at a comedy club for a number of years, right? The owner of the comedy club, he owns Peter Boyle's costume from Young Frankenstein. He bought it on auction. Yeah, he bought it on auction. Isn't that cool? Yeah.
That's very, very, very cool.
Really, kind of badass anyway. But anyway, I just thought we should touch on that. So I thought that would be nice because I figured that, you know, just about everybody was somewhat affected by the loss of a great guy.
Definitely. And yeah. I didn't know he had Alzheimer's. That's terrible. I never watched TV, so I didn't know he was sick. So it really took me by surprise.
It was a little bit sad when I started seeing everyone posting this stuff about him and
Gilda.
Oh, no, I can't remember. Yeah. You know, being together again. I mean, I get it. They were in love and everything, but he had a wife.
He ended up remarrying who he ended up calling the love of his life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be awkward when he gets up to heaven.
That's going to be awkward.
A weird
let
situation.
Let the awkwardness commence. Yes, let the awkwardness commence.
But it'll definitely be funny, awkward. You know what I mean? It's going to be hilarious.
Well, they're both comedians. Wah-wah.
Right? Or it could be really violent, awkward, you know? I don't know. Who knows?
Anything's possible.
I don't think they allow violence in heaven, so we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, we won't see, but one wonders. I thought Carolyn was going to call in. Damn it, I miss her.
We actually do have another caller.
Oh, good. Hello?
Hello?
Hello,
who is
it? Carolyn,
yay! I was just wishing for you.
Your wish was granted.
I've been listening to you guys.
how are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. A little bit tired. It's It's been all wedding all weekend, so.
Who's getting married, Carolyn?
My brother.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Cool.
Very tomorrow.
Right on. What's your part of it? What's your part of the service?
I'm sorry?
What's your part in the wedding? Bridesmaid or?
I have no part in the wedding other than to get up and make a little.
Look beautiful.
His fiance asked my sister and I to take part in a little thing to honor our father. Because my dad is no longer living, and
right.
You know, as they went through the process of getting stuff set up for the wedding, she had put like little notes for people to like, you know, please don't mention the groom's father, he's deceased, and of course sometimes people forget or they didn't read it. And she would see, you know, my brother didn't like break down or anything, but you know, it bothered him obviously. And so she set up a little surprise for him. With a little slideshow for him, with him and my dad, and asking my sister and I to, you know, do a little something, anything we wanted to say, and I'm still working on it, and then she's going to present my mom with my bouquet of my dad's favorite flowers.
Huh. Cool.
So.
Does she know your dad pretty well?
No, they met after my father died. After my dad died, so she never had a chance to meet him. She showed us a present that she got from my mom, which was saying, you know, basically she embroidered it herself, and it's a handkerchief, which is kind of old-fashioned, but it got their wedding date, which is tomorrow, and says, thank you and your husband for raising the man that is, that I'm going to marry, and I promise I'm going to take care of him.
That's sweet. That's classy. I like that.
She's a nice girl. She's a really nice girl. I had my doubts and my fears. After meeting her family and spending more time with her, I feel a lot better.
Good, good, good. I'm sure your brother has good taste, so I'm sure she's a good one. She what?
He hasn't always had good taste. He had to turn 40 to get some good taste.
Okay. Well, good for him. He found a good one.
Yeah, he
did. I wish
did.
Him all the best.
He found a really nice woman. She's
good.
Very kind, considerate, and I like her.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yep. So what have you guys been up to?
Jason, you go first.
Well, I started a new job, so that's kind of been my focus for the last couple of months. Other than that, not a whole lot. I mean, I really like where I'm working now. I like the people that I work with, so it's a lot of fun. In fact, one of them might be listening. So if you're listening, Brianna, hi.
Is this the job that you interviewed for that we were kind of fingers crossing for?
Yeah. Yeah.
It is.
It's interesting because I actually work for a company, a consulting company, and then I'm consulting through them to another company. And I really like the consulting company a lot. I really like working for them, but I also enjoy, you know, the people that I work with at the place I'm consulting to. So it's all good. It's all a good situation.
And you're enjoying it?
Yep.
Good.
I'm not enjoying the drive. The drive is about an hour a day at least.
Whoa. Both ways or no?
No. Oh. One way.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's all the time. Yeah.
But that's all right. I can deal with it.
Well, when you get to feeling terrible about the drive, let me just tell you that my dad, who is 74, he lives in Tijuana, and he works here in San Diego. Every day he sits in the line at the border crossing for 3 hours every day to come
wow.
to this side. Yeah. So imagine that, just sitting there for 3 hours in a line, long, hot line.
Oh,
not fun.
Yeah, I would not enjoy that.
And as far as me, Carolyn, I've just been working on my recovering from my brain surgery still and doing much better, coming back into myself and learning, you know, to walk, trying to as hard as I can to walk as normal as possible. And so I've been getting around better and just all around doing better.
Cool.
So, yeah. It took a while. It took a lot of bed rest, but I'm walking my dogs now. Yeah.
It seemed like you were, when the last time we had a talk, you were pretty fresh from your surgery, and I was wondering if you were pushing yourself a little hard.
I tried not to, but maybe I was, I don't know. But I can feel my brain healing some, you know, because there's sometimes I'll, you know, like you know something, and then you go to say it, and there's nothing there, you know. So I've been noticing that kind of getting better, and can feel connections being made again in my brain. I had a lot of memory loss and stuff, so sometimes I'll get a memory of something and be like, oh yeah, I remember that. Where before it was completely gone, erased. So yeah, it's been a weird journey, but I'm going to get through it. Yeah.
Good.
And do we still have Lisa on? No?
She dropped off.
Okay. I hope she didn't get mad at me. I was totally just joking with her when I said she lied about crying.
I know. I knew you were joking and trying to be funny. I told her that too.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
I was listening to a thing about you guys talking about Gene Wilder, and to be honest with you, the only Gene Wilder movie I've ever seen is Young Frankenstein, but I've seen it a lot of times, and it's
It
always makes me laugh, and my very, very, very favorite scene is when he and the monster dance. I love that scene.
It's brilliant. You heard us talking. Gene Wilder wrote that, obviously, and he's the one that came up with that idea. And Mel Brooks told him he was crazy, and they argued with each other about putting that scene in. And it's probably one of the only times that Gene Wilder actually like really stood up for, you know, what he really believed, and got into an argument with Mel Brooks about that. And finally, after about an hour and a half of arguing with each other about it, Mel Brooks just said, okay, yeah, let's put it in. He goes, I just wanted to see if you would fight for it. If it was that important to you, then, you know, then let's put it in. So that,
good.
That scene could have
that's
been
like the best part of the movie. That's the absolute best part of the movie. I mean, I will tell you, my brother and I, every time that movie came on to, like, broadcast television, you know, back in the day when you only had four channels, that movie would come on, and we would be in front of, we'd be in the basement watching television. We had, like, you know, the big floor model TV set.
Mm-hmm.
And it would come on, and I took dance class, so I had all these costumes and stuff. And I would get my little tap dance thing, and we would take turns being monster, because we both wanted to be the monster really bad. We loved monster. And, you know, I would do, like, little dance steps, and then my brother would go,
Carolyn.
And we actually laughed about that about 2 weeks ago, because it was on television.
Carolyn.
And when it comes on, we always text each other and be like, putting on the red.
Carolyn, it's all fun and games until you actually become that monster. Like, after my brain surgery, that's just how I felt. Like, and that's how I kind of walked. Yeah.
You're not a monster.
I would have been the monster if we were all playing together. So, anyway, not fun. Not a good look.
Well, That's the difference between fantasy and fact. With fantasy, it's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With fantasy, it's always fun.
I
don't think I've ever seen anything else with Gene Wilder in it, to be honest with you. I think Blazing Saddles, I was too young to be allowed to watch that at the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
Probably R-rated. And I don't know that I've ever really bothered to watch it. I think I've seen clips of the guy saying, you know, if you don't, you know, the guy who grabs himself around the neck, you know, I'm going to kill him. He was on Saturday Night Live, I think.
I don't know. I've never seen Blazing Saddles. I don't know. Have you seen it, Chase?
I haven't. I've never watched it.
There's a part in Blazing Saddles where there's a black guy and he's getting ready to get lynched by a bunch of like crazy hillbillies, and he's like trying to figure out how to get out of it, and it's kind of playing off that they're so dumb that they don't realize how dumb they are, and he puts his arm around his neck like he's hugging himself, then he uses the other arm to put a gun to his head and says, if you don't back off, I'm going to shoot the N-word. And they're like, wait, hold up now, wait, you can't do that. And he's like, I'm going to put his brains all over the place. And he starts, like, talking real crazy and hateful. And they're like, come on, man, calm down. You don't have to be like that. And, like, he backs through, like, waving the gun wildly and then puts it to his own head again. And they're like, just calm down. There's no need. There's no need to shoot him. And he gets out of it.
Wow. That's some pretty dumb town folk.
Yeah, it's one of those scenes where it's funny, but you could never get away with that in a movie these days.
Do you guys know, he actually did a film between Young Frankenstein and Silver Streak. It was a film called The Adventure of Sherlock Holmes's Smarter Brother.
No, I never heard of that one.
He's been in quite a bit of stuff.
Yeah, I saw Silver Streak at the theater with him and Richard Pryor. That was pretty good.
That's
good. Then, Jason, can you give everybody listening our phone number? Maybe somebody will want to call in. I don't know. I can't access it right now, but
sure.
Maybe you can.
Okay. Yeah, the number to call us is 323-642-1677.
Okay, cool. If anyone's bold enough to call in and talk to us, that'd be cool.
So I was this past week, I've been studiously avoiding the internet, but I've been too busy to really be on it that much. But I noticed that a lot of people that I know are have been commenting about this, the guy who chose not to stand up for the national anthem thing.
Yeah.
And I've kind of been flabbergasted at how, like, psycho crazy upset people have gotten. Like, they're taking it totally personally, like, you know, he walked up to them and, like, slapped them and said, you know, your grandma's ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, has it really gone this far? Are people really looking this closely for things to be angry about?
Right. It seems like it's just crazy times lately, Carolyn. Like, I don't know if it's because of the Trump fanaticism or what, but people just have gotten really ugly and vocal and in their stupidity and in their ignorance, I think. And I don't know. I've noticed a big trend in that ugly, closed-minded. I mean, the guy's famous. He can make a statement for his political beliefs without having to take all that flack, you know?
I think he's cool.
I
was just stunned because it wasn't just that people were saying stuff. It was just like they were threatening violence. And I'm like,
yeah,
I've heard people before say, I don't need that dude, and I hope he gets fired, and I'll never watch, you know, whatever they're on again. And, you know, I'm used to that kind of blowhard foolishness.
But when it gets down to the point, you know, I know someone sets him on fire, and I'm like, really?
I know. It's really ugly. I don't like the atmosphere. It seems like since – am I wrong or right? It doesn't seem like since Trump came into politics that it's gotten that way. I don't remember it being that way before.
I think he has –
It was bad before, but it's gotten worse since.
Yeah, I think it's gotten more openly worse.
I
think this is there's an undercurrent of this that's a part of our culture, and
shamefully,
and I think that I think Trump has given those people the spotlight where they feel comfortable expressing that openly. That's
right. I just so funny because I'm on a couple of online web pages that are geared to women veterans, Black veterans, and some of them are just like veterans in general. And then most of the people are just kind of, you know, people are saying, you know, he's disrespecting our veterans. The veterans are like feeling, most of them feel like I do, which is the whole reason that I was in the military is to support our country, and our country says you can express yourself. So how is this disrespecting me? You know, if you're disrespecting me, maybe talk about how you don't want to fund the VA anymore, or you're trying to make the VA a publicly traded company. That's disrespecting me.
What's interesting about this situation is that, I mean, there were a lot of veterans that started posting comments and statuses supporting him. They're like I fought for the his right to make that statement. I didn't fight to make everyone fall in line with how I think that they should act. I fought for their freedom.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing. I was raised as a military brat. I was in the military myself. I stand up for I still pledge allegiance to the flag when it's appropriate, and I do the, you know, I stand for the national anthem. But I also know the national anthem was written by a guy who was like to the bone racist, and like one of the verses actually celebrates. You know, it's not a verse that's sung because they only sing the two first verses, but the third verse like openly celebrates slavery and like kind of basically, you know, we're going to run it off these British people and we're going to use the blood of Black people to do it.
Oh my God.
If you look it up, you can find the verse, and it's pretty, you know, it's not nice. So, I mean, the thing is that, you know, on a theoretical level, you know, I don't like that third verse, but it's not a verse that I learned about until I was an adult. So I'm not going to let myself get all twisted about it. There's too many other things that are actually important to get angry about.
Right.
As opposed to a, you know, 190-year-old song or whatever, however old it is.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we getting all caught up because some dude who makes $20 million a year doesn't want to stand up for a song. You know?
Right.
I totally
respect his stance on doing that, and I totally am glad that we live in a country where you can do that, and the people that are against him doing that need to sit down and shut up and realize if he's not he's merely making a peaceful protest, you know what I mean, which is what they aren't doing, you know what I mean. A lot of these, even the Black Lives Matter people are kind of dropping the ball a little bit by turning protests into something beautiful, what they're trying to say, into violence and discord. And but peaceful protests, I'm all for it, and people should respect that, and that's his right to do it. And thank God we live in a place where you can do it. And so that's my take on it.
I've just been almost. The thing is that have you seen what people in other countries are saying about us? Kind of like we're the joke of the world.
Not that.
Everyone is like, "Are you guys serious? You just serious? You know, really?
you really, really have this dude running for office? Wow.
I know. I can't wait till it's all over and he's gone. What was I going to say? Another thing I want to tell you my take on is the fact that, you know, I wasn't always in high school and stuff. I wasn't really studious. I wasn't really worried about learning stuff. I was more worried about smoking pot and hanging out with my friends. But afterward, now I'm kind of more interested in history and how politics work and everything, the government works. And when I realized, when it dawned on me, even though it had probably been told to me a million times in high school, that there was slavery in this country for 200 years or over 200 years, when it settled in as an adult and I realized what that meant, it's just so mortifying, so embarrassing that this country could go 200 years with that situation. You know what I mean? And for Trump to bring back open racism in the subtle way that he did it, also just embarrassing. You know what I mean? Because so many people from, even people like, I was watching Soul Train. This is going to sound stupid, but you'll know where I'm coming from. I was watching Soul Train, and those kids on there from the 70s, from the early 70s, so cool. You know what I mean? So talented and cool and beautiful. And I was thinking, now this new climate, especially in some parts of the country, it's so ugly and racist lately. It just makes me embarrassed to be a human being, almost, you know, when we have doctors like Carolyn, who's a woman and a doctor, and news reporters who are so intelligent. And it's just a shame. It's the whole thing. Trump makes me sick. And I just can't wait till he's gone from the picture, because he took us backwards. And it's very humiliating for me as a person. That's my Trump speech.
Well, I don't think you can be held responsible for Trump. I mean, he's his own person. Here's the thing. Like, I keep on waiting, and I know this sounds really dumb, but I keep on waiting for like something to happen and for him to say, "Ha ha, I got you." Like, you know.
I know, right? Exactly. The first,
at some level, this is a joke that like got out of control.
Right.
He doesn't want to stop it.
Because when I first, I was watching the first the Republican convention, and when Melania, his wife, when they came up the next day after her speech and said she had plagiarized it, I was thinking, this has to be a joke, because there's no way. That's the perfect joke. You know what I mean? Like, it's like an SNL skit that she plagiarized most of her speech. And that's what I was thinking. That's when I started thinking that too, Carolyn, that somehow this is going to turn out to be a joke.
Did you notice that in her speech she Rickrolled?
He's never going to let you down. He's never going to give you up.
She did. She was doing the speech, and then she said, "And he is never going to give up. He's never going to let you down." And I was like, "Oh my God!"
I've been Rickrolled. Wow. On top of everything else.
And I thought, okay, maybe I'm insane. Maybe she didn't really say that. So then I go on, I got a Twitter account just so I can see Donald Trump's tweets, because he's so crazy. Isn't that sad? Like, I didn't watch any other social media, but it's like, he's so ridiculous and his tweets are so dumb that I got a Twitter account and I follow him because I want to see what this fool is saying. So then people start posting Rick, whatever his name is, to his Twitter account. Because he did. And I was
Rick,
like, okay, I'm not insane. He really did do that.
Carolyn, is your radio on in the background?
No.
Like, getting interference. Okay. Rick Astley.
So I thought, okay, whoever wrote this speech for her either hates their freaking guts.
Right.
And, you know, wants to
sabotage them, or this is their way of, like, totally flubbing this whole thing up so they have an excuse to either withdraw or hoping to, like, get, like, no votes at all, you know, something.
Yeah, and you know what's sad? You know what's sad? I was, when she was going to come out, I was, you know, I hate Trump, but when she was going to come out, I was actually kind of, in a weird way, I was kind of sadistically kind of wanting to see her be nervous or watch her screw up, because I knew she, English is not her first language, so I was kind of, in a twisted way, wanting to watch her tremble up there or miss, you know, stop, but she did such a great job. And I didn't know about her plagiarizing till the next day. But she did such a great job. I was like, you know what? She actually did really well. Like, I'm proud of her. She held her chin up, and she didn't miss one beat, and she looked poised and confident. And I was really impressed by her. And then the next morning, I hear all about this plagiarism stuff, and I'm like, oh, my God. No. No way. It's real.
This is actually worse than watching a train wreck. This is more like watching. No, I'm serious. It's more like watching a. It's, you know what it's like watching? It's almost like watching like a bunch of high school kids who decide that they're going to put on, oh, I don't know, like Chicago or La Cage aux Folles, but like no one can sing.
Uh-huh.
It's like that. It's like watching something. It's like so cringy, and you're like, oh, don't.
Cringy.
You know, it's kind of, you're putting your face, your hands over your face because you're embarrassed for them. You're like,
Carolyn, did you say cringy?
Yeah, like you're just kind of sitting in the in your seat.
Did
and you're
you just
hunching
make up
your
a word? I love that word now.
I don't know. It's not a real word. It's just a word I use when I'm like, ooh, it's all cringy.
That's hilarious.
I use it too because I cannot stand those kind of cringy moments. And Lee likes those kind of movies too, and I can't do it. I just don't want to see people.
What kind of movie is cringy?
I don't know, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but it just,
anything with a romantic comedy is cringy, because all of that stuff and fanciful and crazy. Like, I would say pretty much anything with Drew Barrymore, what's his name? The one I really can't stand. Adam Sandler, that one where she's like,
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Got here, yeah.
51st Date.
Titanic. Is Titanic cringy?
Titanic is cringy if you see it more than once.
All right,
like,
cool.
You know,
I learned the word tonight.
You get all caught up in the romance part of it, but then, like, after you've heard Celine Dion wailing for about 2 years, that same song, and then it comes on TV, you're like, oh, no, please don't. You know, that whole draw me like one of your French girls. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
come
God.
On, girl. Stop it.
Right. But since that movie came out, I didn't know I was going to fall head over heels in love with Kate Winslet, which I am now. But I didn't realize what a special person she is, but I just adore her now. But that's when she first came out, so I didn't realize it. So I might watch Titanic.
I'll give her that. But I'll tell you one thing. Titanic is the last time that, what's his name?
Leonardo
DiCaprio. That was the last time Leonardo DiCaprio actually looked something close to the word handsome, because now
he looks
like a bloated mess. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What happened to you?
I like him better now. I think he was always so too boyish for me. Like, now he's like in his man body, you know, like he grew his man bones and he filled
his
out.
Man
and,
body.
You know what I mean? Like, he's bigger boned now, you know, he's not, maybe you could say a little bloated, but he's like a man now. Before he was such a twiggy little boy. I like him better now.
Play-Doh. Oh, my God. Every time I look at him and I see him with one of those little sticks-in models, I'm like, just the visual of, oh, yick.
Oh, God. To me, I beg to differ, Carolyn. I think he looks like a Clark Gable, like a classic movie star, which he is. And I see him as that now, like just debonair and great hair and that sparkle
that
in his eyes.
Facial hair thing he has all the time.
It's just, I don't know, he's the epitome of a handsome leading man to me. That's just my opinion.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
So what about the Revenant? He was not handsome.
Which one? The Revenant?
The Revenant.
What's it called?
The Revenant.
I haven't heard of that.
From he eats raw bear liver or whatever it was he ate.
He pretty much has no dialogue in the entire movie. I mean, yeah. Just
I never heard of
that.
He's like a wild animal. Jesus.
Oh, wow.
it was his latest movie. Clearly this is one of those things that it's a good thing that there's a lot of people in the world, because if everyone liked the same people, like, no one would get hooked up.
Right. But I think there's more people on my team than your team, Carolyn, when it comes to Leonardo, because he's one of the most wanted movie stars of all time, really. Like, how many Academy Awards has he won? I mean, not a lot of people are saying he's bloated and ugly and hideous.
I don't think he's won any Academy Awards.
Do you dare to be different? What?
He hasn't won one. That was like the big deal with The Revenant. Yeah, no. That was the whole thing is that he had won one, and people were saying the reason why is he's always flitting around the world with like 70 different Barbie dolls. You know, all these Barbie dolls.
Do you guys know? Do you know where he got his start?
I heard, but I forgot. Tell me.
1985 on Growing Pains.
Shut up. Yeah, he was second banana to Kirk Cameron the Crazy.
Oh, God. That guy is crazy. Carolyn, we're going to have to take our Leonardo DiCaprio discussion behind the scenes, you know what I'm saying? Behind the racquetball courts later on.
You know, I think, you know, this could be one thing that could be actually other than Rihanna, this could actually be a racial thing, because I don't know a single black woman who thinks that Leonardo DiCaprio is
really
attractive. No.
Hmm.
We are not feeling
why don't we meet at midnight and you wear, let's dress all in black. We'll have ourselves a knife fight.
Oh my God. I'm not any sleeper he could for Leonardo DiCaprio. He is all yours.
Okay.
Yeah. Just look at it as less competition, Chris.
Okay.
Yeah,
but that's interesting. That's interesting that no black.
I'm sorry, I keep talking over here.
Yeah, and I have to be honest, Chris.
I'm not a Leo fan either.
Island, so.
You're not a fan of Leos?
Nope. I'm not.
Alrighty. You can surprise us if you want to behind the racquetball courts later on. But I'll think you both on.
I do love Kate Winslet, though. I do. I really love her. And the first time that I saw her was actually in Heavenly Creatures, which is a really good movie if you get an opportunity to watch that.
I like it a lot. I'm still laughing at the whole "I'm gonna meet you on the racquetball court." I'm like, you're like the least violent person I know, Chris. I'm like, you show up for the knife fight with like a plastic butter knife.
No, you underestimate me, young lady.
Oh gosh.
I'll bring special crutches that have like switchblades on the end.
You're gonna be like the X-Men guy, pull like all the secret weapon things.
I'll pull up in a wheelchair, yeah.
Oh my God. I'll keep my mouth shut. But look, see, you like him, but I think Adrian Brody is totally hot, and people do not feel the same way as I do.
I do.
I don't think that he's physically hot, but I give him a lot of points for being charming. And that goes a long way with me. And I learned recently this a quote from, I forget who, if it might have been Oscar Wilde, but I'm not sure. But I read on Facebook this quote. It said, people are people are either one thing or another, and that is charming. People are either charming or tedious. So he would fall under the category of charming to me, but he's weird looking. He's strange looking, but I don't feel weak in the knees when I see him. But he's got that charm thing going on. So
that's no, he pulls hot. It's the big beaky nose. I love like a big like
that's big.
Arabic slash Italian beaky nose.
Piratey.
Yes.
Just a big beak.
Yep. Just like it. I like a man with a strong nose.
Would you say that's like your fetish, or?
No, I just think it makes a man's face look really good.
Okay.
Like, you know, guys who have these like little, you know, with men get like nose jobs and they look kind of womanish.
Yeah.
And then, I don't like that. No.
Speaking of, since we're gossiping, you guys, have you seen the latest Kaylin pictures? Because she's going for that. Have you seen those? She's going for that Michael Jackson nose, big cheek implants look with a big full lips, like the cat lady. Yeah. You haven't seen those yet?
No.
The nose is becoming very minimal, and I have a feeling it's not going to stop until there's no nose there, just like Michael. And the cheeks are really full to where she kind of has Chinese eyes because the cheeks are so full of whatever they put in there, and the lips are getting kind of big, oversized.
Okay.
So
she's trying to get lips like what's her name, the little girl, Kylie.
Shirley Temple.
The one who did have lips, and now all of a sudden she's got more lips than me.
I don't know who's that.
The daughter.
Kylie.
The daughter.
Oh, Kylie, yes. Uh-huh.
And she looks like, her lips look like like some kind of a primate in heat. I'm like, what the hell? What happened to your freaking, ooh.
I just wonder about these people who don't see themselves. I think I predict Kaylin's going to be the next Michael Jackson who just way, or Lil' Kim, who just way overdoes it and doesn't see that it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And yeah.
Oh my God.
I can, yeah.
Can we talk about that crazy gal? What happened to her freaking skin?
Who?
Lil' Kim. She
blew
her
God.
Oh my God.
You mean the fact that she's white now?
Lil' Kim had a beautiful complexion, and now she looks like
LaToya.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they have a
crazy
way to bleach their skin now, right? I mean, black people now, if they pay enough money, can bleach their skin, right?
I have never seen Michael Jackson actually did have vitiligo. Like, that came out in his autopsy report, unfortunately. So there are really certain things that you can put on someone's skin to take all the melanin out if they got vitiligo, and clearly that's what he did. And, you know, that's a treatment for disease. But she don't have vitiligo?
No.
I know. She probably just used what he used anyway. Said, fuck it. But, I don't have a problem so much with her skin. I have a problem with her nose. What the hell? It's like Mickey Mouse nose.
What is it
anyway
about that? It's the nose, it's the
she was so pretty just as herself, you know, au naturel. She was so cool and so beautiful, and now she looks like a zillionaire weirdo. Freakazoid.
I have no problem with people wanting to do plastic surgery if they want to do it. But it's when they go so far.
Right.
It's
probably going to turn out to be some kind of like a disease someday, a psychological disease, like a body dysmorphia, you know, when skinny anorexic girls see themselves as fat and that kind of thing. Probably that's what happens. That's the only excuse.
Have you seen her little girl? Her little girl looks the way she used to look. So I'm thinking to myself, and when are you going to start working on your size? Because you got this pasty white mom with a little brown daughter, and, you know, when are you going to start, you know, bleaching her out and carving out the face?
Probably as we speak, she's dipping her into a vat of the chemicals that release the skin by her toes.
Yeah, Lil' Kim looks crazy. She looks like she. Yeah, she and you know, Caitlyn Jenner. I don't even know what to say about that. That whole situation is the whole family dynamic, the whole thing. You know that you're. Oh,
crazy. It's insane to think about the fact that Bruce Jenner is now a weird woman.
Well,
but,
you didn't have like 8 kids. Like,
yeah,
you know you want to do all this stuff. Why do you keep on having babies that you got to explain
it
to?
And also, he's got to be gay, right? Because now he's talking about dating men. And it's like, that means, I mean, technically, yes, he would be a straight woman, heterosexual woman. But that had to be in him all along, that he would actually bang a man, you know what I mean? Because that's what he's talking about doing now. That's confusing. I'm gay and it's confusing.
Hold up. I thought that Caitlyn Jenner said that women was – when did this switch? When did this change?
Recently. If you look on YouTube, you'll see where he's, you know, like what's that called, like acting coy, but saying, yeah, I'm ready to date, you know, men. And it's like makes the mind boggle.
But, what kind of man is going to want to date someone who's got Chinese eyes and a Michael Jackson nose?
Good question. Hey, now that was racist. Whoa. That's reeled in here.
You're the one who said the cheek filler was so filled up her eyes look Chinese.
Yeah, I know, sweetie. I'm just giving you shit.
Oh, like,
hey, you guys.
Hey, you guys.
One thing trips me out. I'm sorry, Carolyn. Go ahead. You go first. I'll say
no,
mine.
You go.
Okay. One thing that trips me out is this thing about the bathrooms and transgender people going in whatever bathrooms, which was never an issue that I've ever heard of before. All of a sudden now it's this big issue. And it's like, when you use the bathroom, no one's watching you anyway. Like, hopefully, like, you can lock the door to your stall, or even the urinals have, but I doubt a woman going into the men's bathroom is going to hike up her skirt and pee in the urinal. You know, she's going to, unless she's insane, she's going to go in the stall and use it. This whole thing is just weird for me, like, to understand.
This is something that the Republicans do every election. Mm-hmm. That's a key election, because in 2004, that's when the whole thing about gay marriage that they got on that time, or was it about I can't remember if it was gay marriage was the thing that they started harping on, or if it was election laws for employment. But anyway, they got all that going on and got it put on ballots all over the United States during an election year. And so people who were angry about gay marriage went out and voted to have no gay marriage in their state. And at the same time, they voted for Bush. They always create these situations that nobody has thought about before to get people riled up, so they'll come out and vote for that or vote against it or whatever, and then vote
like
for the Republicans.
It's like they're playing to stupid people. That's the way I see it. It's insulting to my intelligence.
Well, here's the thing. If you look up on YouTube, you can find a video clip of Trump actually saying, and they call you guys this, and they call you guys that, and they call you uneducated. Well, guess what? I like uneducated people. I thought, of course your ass likes uneducated people, because you can con and scam and cheat them out of all their money and get them to vote for you, you dumbass.
Right.
You know, he's a shit. I hate him.
Thank
really
you.
Did.
On behalf of the gay, uneducated people, I would like to thank you for standing up for us like that, Carolyn. Thank you. That means a lot.
Did you guys hear? There is this teenager who, the dogs are barking, but there's this teenager that she sat out of her gym class.
in middle school after Obama said that transgender people should be able to use the, you know, that directive that said that they should be able to use the restroom that they, So she said, well, she went in front of the school board and said that she was going to fail high school because she had to take gym to pass. And that if she, and here's the thing, both her and her mother have said that as far as they know, there's no transgender people in the school, but it's just, she doesn't want to go in into the locker rooms and stuff and change.
Oh God.
Wait,
so it's
so
a big excuse.
Something that doesn't happen at her school?
Yeah.
So it's
okay,
an excuse.
Well, so guess what? I hope that she doesn't pass high school and the GED test just got made really, really hard, like really hard, and it's difficult to pass. I hope she flunks the GED, and I hope she doesn't get into college, dumb bitch.
Carolyn, I love you.
You know, the people are just creating problems where there isn't a problem. Why are you – my thing is this. Where do you think transgender people have been going to the bathroom all this time? You think they've been holding it all day?
Yeah. And you know what else is? You know what else it is? It's a perfect example of how people like the Republicans drilling fear into the, you know, barely educated public, and the public falling for it. And that mother probably made her daughter terrified by telling her, "Oh, some man's going to come in and try to take pictures of you while you're peeing," when the whole thing is just fear-based rhetoric from the Republicans. So that's an example right there.
I'll be perfectly honest. The very first time that I ever encountered a man crop dressing, I was probably in my 20s. And when I say a man crop dressing, I mean like not like going to a drag show or something like that, but like a person out in public just living their life. And so I was in my 20s, and I can't remember the situation, but it wasn't like out at night. It was like, you know, it was like I was at, you know, Macy's or Dillard's or something like that, and I had to go to the ladies' room, and I went to the bathroom, and, you know, when I came out, I'm washing my hands, and as I'm washing my hands and I get ready to, you know, check my purse or did something, and I looked up and looked over and – because I realized that someone was approaching me from behind and just kind of glanced in the mirror, and it was clearly a man in women's clothing. Like, it was, this person was not, I don't know if they weren't trying to pass or that they were doing their best and this is what they had. Not really sure.
Yeah.
But it was like startling and like really, like, it, I sucked in my breath, I, you know, because I didn't know what to make of the situation. Like,
right.
What is on here? And,
right, what is happening, yeah.
Yeah, what the heck is this? And I'm not gonna lie, I almost screamed because I didn't know, my brain just couldn't process all this. I was like 20 years old. I hadn't finished college yet. And then he said, "Hi," and I was like, "Hi," and I'm just kind of washing my hands. He gets out his purse and puts lipstick on, and he, like, hurried him out because I think he probably realized that he had scared me. And
right. Was he freakish, like creepy freakazoid, or was he, like,
just a nice person? No, not a weirdo. Like, he wasn't threatening. No. Not threatening at all. It was just the situation was something that I had never, ever encountered before. And, of course, this was, like, 86 or 87. And so how often were you talking about people who cross-dressed in 1986 or 7? Was this in the news?
Really.
No. So this is something
Carolyn, what makes me think he might have been creepy is I put myself in his position. Let's say I'm a legitimate, like, I'm transgender and I'm making the transition and I still look very manly, but I'm being bold enough to go out in public in drag or whatever, dressed as a woman, and I go into a bathroom, I need the bathroom, and I come out and I startle a young lady who's not, you know, who's taken aback by my appearance, I'm not going to go in the mirror and, like, slather lipstick all over my lips, you know what I mean? I'm going to get the hell out of it. I'm going to use the bathroom real quick and get out. I'm not going to go to the mirror next to her and smear lipstick all over my face. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of creepy.
That's not really how he did it, though. Like, he was walking up to do it. Like, he already had the lipstick. He was already getting the lipstick out or whatever. And so I think it was just kind of like we were just crossing paths. You know what I mean? Like, I've had that happen with a woman before where I'm doing whatever and just notice her there. He wasn't stalking me or trying to do anything bad. It was just I had not encountered that before. I was a young woman living for the first time by herself in a large city, and it caught me by surprise. And
You wanted him, didn't you?
Right. And when I think about it now, like as an adult, and knowing what I know now, it wouldn't have scared me.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And Carolyn, you've been fantasizing about him for how long now? How many years?
Oh, sorry. Stop it. But the thing is like now as an adult, I feel kind of embarrassed that I did that. And then I'm like, well, I didn't know better. Couldn't see him before.
No, of course not.
And I think to myself, I hope that I didn't hurt him. I hope that he wasn't like all devastated and then like that wasn't the first time he tried it, and then he went home and like hid and never tried it again. You know what I mean?
No, I'm sure he. That's part of his transition. I understand that they have to before they can get a sex change, they have to go to therapy for years, a couple of years, whatever. They have to be really psychologically, and that's part of it is going out in drag in public, and probably. That was just par for the course for him because they have to get all that, they have to get through all that stuff before they'll be allowed to have surgery.
Right. But, after I realized that it was like, I got home and I didn't even say anything to anybody. I just kind of like never talked about it or discussed it with anyone. And, when I think about it now, how many times had I been in the bathroom with someone who was able to pass and I didn't know? And they just came in, used the bathroom, left. And so people go to the toilet to go to the bathroom and leave. People don't go to the bathroom dressed like the opposite sex so that they can sexually assault other people. That's not what people do in a toilet. You have to be like the dumbest rapist in the world to go as a woman into the men's room or a man into the woman's room dressed as the opposite sex because you want to get a feel. It's not going to work. People who go into restrooms and
there are a lot of creeps out there, but I agree with you for the most part that most people, 99% of people wouldn't do that, but there are
the adult pedophiles who look for unescorted children, not grown people.
Yeah, that's disgusting,
That's when you find people lurking in bathrooms. Some old pervy person who goes into the bathroom at a little girl's, Girl Scout camp or something. That's when you find people lurking in the bathroom. It's just just created some fear for a situation that didn't need legislating or fear mongering to be done. People had been handling this for a long time, and everything was fine.
Yep.
Everything was fine. And now all of a sudden, everywhere.
We should be moving forward in this whole election process and me kind of learning about how politics works through a friend, which I never really understood politics much, except I knew I was a Democrat and Republicans were conservative. That's all I knew. But this election and my learning process has really shown me it's going backwards. It's putting people back, this particular election. So, that was a curveball, learning that Republicans were afraid of transgender people using the bathroom and all that stuff. So,
I'm just kind of like, part of me, like, the part of me that still is a, defiant kid, wants to dress in like blue jeans and a white beater and a lumberjack shirt and like go into a men's room and just hang out there and glare at people.
Yeah, that's weird. But you got some sick people out there though that would do it though, I think. But not a lot, but really stupid, ignorant people, creepy as hell, that would might still do that. I don't know.
I don't know. I just think that it was just a lot of foolishness created for nothing. And see, now
okay,
that's
look,
all
I do
about
it, I do it once. I do it like once every other month, okay? And it's not something I'm proud of, but I'm totally joking. No, that's really creepy.
I'm waiting. Did you see the guy? Did you see the man who was like on a – he looked – Donald Trump has got these black and Latino people. Like, I don't know what he's doing with – what he's feeding them. But he's got these black and Latino people out there campaigning for him. And I'm like, really? The Hispanic guy who said something about if you don't get some control over this border, you're going to have a taco truck on every corner.
Jesus.
Screamed laughing because when he said it, he says it with this heavily accented English. The man is clearly an immigrant, and I'm like, you are talking like this?
I don't understand, Carolyn. Carolyn, it's mind-boggling to me. It boggles my mind that there's female Republicans and also middle class to poor Republicans, because what the hell are they thinking? You know what I mean? Women Republicans or women for Trump makes no sense whatsoever. It's just like, to me, it seems like brainwashing of some sort, or it's crazy. This thing that he has with that he brings out in people. It's almost like a brainwashing. Like that's why they're, I think, comparing him kind of to Hitler. It's because what are these people thinking, supporting a sexist bigot? You know, I don't get it. It's just
when
crazy.
When we get on the phone, I'm gonna post something. I'm gonna send you on PM a link for this guy, or I'll put it on our group talk.
Okay.
Where this guy who is a cult deprogrammer goes through point by point and points out all the ways that Donald Trump is similar to a cult leader. It's freaking scary, because they talk about how, you know, he's very charismatic, he has a big sense of self-entitlement, how he's able to convince people to go opposite of their own best interests, how once revealed to do something really bad, the members of the cult are able to justify it. It's like, oh my God, it's like Jim Jones.
I did you watch the Republican convention?
Yes.
I watched it. It's kind of scary how frenzied the audience got, and like the violent things they were chanting, and it was just kind of weird. It felt very cult-like to me. So there's something going on there. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I have to say, I mean, the people that go to those conventions are the people that are really, really passionate about their politics. And so, I mean, that the same thing could be said of the Democratic convention. If the people that are going there are the people that are the most vocal and the most passionate about it. So in a way it kind of is a cult, right? It's this group think kind of situation. And
as a convention, when they're chanting "lock her up, lock her up," that's not the first time Trump had people chanting that. They were chanting that at his rally too.
Yeah, I know, it's weird. I mean, they would lock her up for what? Stupid.
Well, anyway.
I ran across some posts on it was something on MSNBC. It was a post that they had made, and I was reading some of the comments from some of the people, and there were some Trump supporters on there. It was talking about Trump's visit to Mexico, to visit, you know, to meet the president of Mexico, and they're just delusional. I mean, it's they're like, this was presidential, and you know, he's appealing, he's being more presidential than Obama's ever been, and all this BS, and it was just like, you don't even know what you're talking about. I mean, he went to visit a president who has a 23% approval rating of the people, the Mexican public. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's not like he was reaching out and making some kind of, diplomatic connections or something.
Jason,
this is someone that is not not probably going to be around past this, his term. And it's just ridiculous. It's stupid.
It is stupid.
I'm still trying to figure out how he's going to make Mexican people pay for a wall.
I already know how he's going to do it. He's going to go to Home Depot, and he's going to pick up some Mexicans at Home Depot. He's going to have them build the wall as contractors, and then he's going to refuse to pay them.
Right.
Like he did every other contractor that he's hired.
What's funny, the joke's going to be on him because Mexicans are all about digging tunnels. We're not about climbing walls, so he's an idiot. But Jason, what's weird is like my dad is a Republican.
Uh-huh.
Which,
what?
Go figure. He lives in Tijuana, and he's totally for Trump. And
what?
I know. It's insane. It's insanity. So the other day I'm talking to him, and I talked to him about Hillary, and I said, what does she do that's got everybody hating her so much? And my dad went off on this tangent. He was driving me to a doctor's appointment, and he's like, that woman is a thief, and every penny she has, which is a lot of money, she has a lot of money, every penny she stole. And I was like, Dad, are you serious? Like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, she's a lawyer and a senator. Like, how can you say every penny she has in the bank she stole? I mean, it's just retarded. I just can't even talk to my dad anymore about it.
Is your dad
brainwashed.
Hispanic?
What?
Is your dad Mexican?
Yeah. And he lives in Tijuana with his wife. His wife is Mexican, like a Mexican. She can't come here because of the immigration. And to his credit, she's like 30 years younger than he is, but she's like his Melania. And he just loves Trump. And it makes no sense to me except for brainwashing, because my dad's a smart guy.
So weird.
It's almost like talking to a brainwashed cult member, almost. Like, he's
so,
like, she's
so... so- Do you guys have a good relationship?
Yeah, we do.
So how can he be for a party that basically wishes you dead?
I know.
Because the Republican Party,
and...
if they could have their way, every gay man in America would be dead.
Right?
Or and woman.
Yeah,
and woman.
He knows I'm gay. Everything is out in the open. But it's just unexplainable, this cult-like grip that Trump gets a hold of people.
They don't care if people have health care. If health care was not available, you wouldn't be here today.
Exactly. I would be dead. Literally, I would be dead. It's unexplainable, except for some kind of brainwashing or I don't know. It just seems like I can't even make sense of any of it when he says, like, that woman lies. She stole pictures off the White House wall when they moved out and blah, blah. It's like insanity. It's insanity. I would take all kinds of stuff from the White House. I had lived there for a few years and I would want some mementos, but anyway, beside the point. Who could fault her for taking a little knick-knack, you know what I mean? Like, anyway, it's crazy.
To backtrack to the fact that he has a gay son and he is Republican. All right.
Thank you. And he's not rich, and he has a Mexican wife, and he lives on the other side of that where the wall was going to supposedly be. It just makes no sense. I don't get it.
Huh.
I can see why rich people would want to be Republican. I can see that totally. Rich men, Wall Street people. But women and middle-class people, gay people, I don't get it. Mexicans, blacks, it just makes no sense. It needs to be, like, overthrown. That's the whole thing that's wrong with the country.
I'm sitting here because, to my knowledge, I do not have any relatives who are Trump supporters. Now, I could hopefully there's something like a third cousin, four times removed or something like that, where it doesn't match. But, like, I feel sorry for people. Like, I've seen people post on where they're like, oh, my brother quit talking to me because I voted for Bernie Sanders or because I voted for...
Yeah, that's dumb.
Or whatever. Like, people are, like, families are getting, like, torn apart by the voting thing.
That's
and I'm like,
dumb.
People are really seriously, like, willing to, like, stop speaking to each other over an election?
Yeah.
I'm all about live and let live. I love my dad. I'll never hold it against him who he votes for or who he prefers because that's just dumb. But, anyway, that's a shame that friends on Facebook are parting ways and families are being torn apart. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I've not unfriended anyone who was a Bernie Sanders supporter or a Trump supporter or, you know, I'm not necessarily in love with Hillary Clinton, but I mean, I like her. Okay. I think she's been demonized over the last 30 years, but I think
that's sexism,
you know,
though.
Yeah.
I think the demonization of her is pure sexist and coming from a bad place because I see her as being very good hearted and very generous and helpful to people, and all the bad talk about her, I think, just comes from pure fear of a female president. Over it. I think people just need to get over it.
I'm not sure that it's necessarily sexism. I think it's mostly, like I said, just people buying into the lies that have been told. And is she perfect? No, she's not. But no one is.
I think the lies, though, got started because she was a smart woman who wasn't going to sit back and, like, as she said, sit home and bake cookies and have tea. They didn't know.
Yeah,
like she was not.
I think, it was a combination. Yeah, I think it was a combination of that and the fact that she's a Clinton. You know, those two things. I mean, made her a target.
In the South, in Arkansas, is very Southern, and when she got down there and she didn't toe the line, they were not feeling it. They were not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if she's been investigated, you know, if she's killed all these dozens of people, you know, she's murdered dozens of people, she's put out hits, she's stolen money, she's done all these things,
right.
And the FBI and the Department of Justice still can't get her. And I'm like, if she's that damn crafty, then I want her to be at the G20 negotiating because that girl is good. You hear me?
Okay. She pulls off. I want to go on record as saying, Carolyn, I want to go on record as saying I think she's going to show these male politicians how it's done. I think she's going to be one of our best presidents of all time. Honestly, this is how I honestly feel. Maybe people will ridicule me for it. I don't care. But I honestly predict she's going to be she's just going to show people how it's done. And,
extremely qualified. I mean, that's the thing is they talk about she's not fit to be president. She's not ready to be president. It's like when have we had a president who's been a senator and
a first lady,
and has a law degree, and has worked in the real. I mean, she's got so many qualifications above and beyond what any guy has ever had. Which is what usually happens when a woman gets a job. She's always overqualified for whatever job she gets. It's like, are you freaking kidding me? No.
Yeah.
Stop.
We'll see. We'll see.
I'm seriously scared about this Julian Assange, that guy in WikiLeaks guy.
Yeah.
He is pure evil. He is really, he's a bad guy.
Yeah,
you
not a good guy.
He released the names of people in Saudi Arabia, I think, that were gay.
Yeah.
They've been implicated in crime that involved a gay person. You can be killed there for that. And he was like, kind of like, oh, well, I'm doing this to shed light on the fact that they're allowing this, it was some teenage boy who said he had been raped, and there's a trial going on. But it's like in Saudi Arabia, because they use this crazy Sharia law, if you are raped, unless somebody witnesses the rape, you can be punished as well as the person who committed the crime.
That makes no
sense. He wasn't helping anything. It's like, and he doesn't care.
Wow.
And
so many
care.
Ignorant people in this world, I swear to God.
I don't think he's ignorant.
He wants to be in the news. He wants to be on the news, and he wants to profit from it is what he wants.
That's sick.
I'm really afraid that he's gonna release something that ignorant people are gonna think is damning evidence of something horrible, and he's gonna release like a week before the election, and he's gonna fuck up our election. We're gonna have some foreign person, because he's from Australia, working with Putin to get our election jacked up. That's what I'm really scared.
And he's in some embassy in London, and he's been basically under siege, but it's surrounded by police.
He's been in embassy for 4 years, and he's hiding. This is the thing. He's such a piece of shit. He makes me angry when I even think about him. He is hiding there because he is under extradition orders from Sweden because he drugged and raped a number of girls there.
He is trying to hide from
standing trial because the U.S. government said, and when he finishes his term, if he is convicted of these rapes, and apparently they've got DNA evidence and all kind of stuff against him, he's probably going to go to jail. And they said, and when you get out of jail, the FBI is going to be waiting for you to bring you back to the United States so you can stand here for a grand jury on the shit you did with WikiLeaks.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's the reason he requested asylum from, I forget what government that he requested it from, but he's been under siege for the last 4 years.
Ecuador.
Here's the thing.
We said we want him to come here and stand before a grand jury so we can see. Well, he didn't want to come for the grand jury, obviously. So when these charges came for these rape charges predated the WikiLeaks thing. The Swedish government had been working on him for a while. So then he lied and said, oh, the Swedish government is just in collusion with the United States government because they want to silence me. No, you pig. You raped somebody.
Right. Terrible.
Actually, more than somebody. I think it's like 3 charges of rape.
Yeah.
Jesus. Hey, you guys.
He's awesome.
Carol, I'm sorry to interrupt. I have to run. I love you guys very much. And maybe Saturday, hopefully, we can all meet again on here.
Yeah.
I have to run right now, but thanks. Very interesting conversation. I love you both, okay?
All right.
Okay,
bye,
Chris.
Take care.
And I think we're going to end the show because I'm going to run as well. Unless you just want to sit on the phone, Carol.
No, I'm not going to just sit on the phone.
We'll give you a topic, Carol.
No.
Okay,
I can rant and rave about Julian Assange for hours because he has just committed so many heinous acts.
Me too.
Carolyn, I love hearing you rant and rave, honestly.
We will be back next week. And I will probably – I'm not singing tonight because I've been coughing all day, so. But I'll see next week, I promise.
Yay. Okay. All right. Take care,
and,
you guys.
Okay. I'll talk to you later. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.